Tonight's topics, it's the economy stupid and what Democrats and other opposition should be doing right now, and the lawsuits against universities for alleged civil rights violation against Jews. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk. I'm with Matthew Owen. We are discussing national news of the day, and we're going to start with "It's the economy, stupid." That was a famously Clinton's line, or actually it was a line that James Carville put on the wall to remind him that that is, in most elections, the most important issue. It certainly was a key issue, if not the most important issue, of this last election, something that Trump hammered on Harris about. And even though there were all these indications of a good economy, good, you know, low unemployment and the rest, he never got inflation down, or he did, but not fast enough and not thoroughly enough, and price of food was more expensive. So the question is will the economy have a similar effect on the Republicans in the midterms if President Trump does not somehow manage to get the prices of eggs, coffee, and groceries down? There are a lot of issues with the economy. Inflation actually does seem to be relatively under control as of today's reports, but the tariffs threaten to exacerbate that, and there's also some really scary indications of a coming recession. Matthew, you want to talk about that?
Well, on Fox News, they're having a real hard time trying to message this. They keep saying, as Trump says, it's a tariff is a tax on a foreign country. And anyone who's imported products is shaking their heads going, no, that's not how it works. People are saying when Walmart imports a product from China, let's say they import $100 stereo, I'm just making something up, and I got a 25% tariff on China, that means Walmart now has to pay $125, $100 to China and $25 to the U.S. Treasury. And Walmart pays that. China does not. Now, since Walmart's prices went up 25% on a wholesale basis, guess what's going to happen to the retail prices? They're going to go up, and it's going to be a tax on the American consumers. And people are realizing this. The biggest problem with tariffs right now is corporations don't know what to do. They don't know, should I expand factories? Should I hire more people? How are tariffs going to affect my sales? And especially with Trump changing his mind on a daily basis, tariffs are on, tariffs are off. No, I'm going to double the tariffs on Canada's aluminum and steel. No, I'm going to cut off Mexico's. We don't know what the hell's happening by the day. But mainly Fox News is being told what you're telling the American people is a lie. And people are going to repeat that over and over again. And now the other magic word that came out is Trump slump. The whole economic downturn with the stock market is Trump slump. During his first 4 years in office, the only thing that Trump talked about on a daily basis until COVID hit was the stock market. The stock market loves Trump. Look at the stock market. It's going up. It's beautiful. Now the stock market's sunk 10%. And Tesla stock's down almost 50% since December. People are starting to shake their heads and looking at the 401ks going, what's going on here, guys? And egg prices are up again. Trump said day one in office, he was going to get grocery prices down and gasoline prices down. It's been almost 2 months and grocery prices are up. Gasoline prices went way up here in the North Coast.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's a problem, too, is because, you know, the president actually has very limited control over inflation. But it was used against Biden, just like it was used against Carter back in the 1970s. People don't care that the president has no control. If you're in office, it works against you. That's just the way it is. The price of eggs has to do with forces that are in nobody's control right now. I mean, it's just the bird flu and now a few other problems. But I don't know where the stock markets ended this afternoon. There was a little bit of a rebound on inflationary news, but then the EU hit back with some tariffs that could have, you know, for basic products that could really have a profound effect on it. And yeah, it's not even just the tariffs, but the fact that we're going to have tariffs, we're not going to have tariffs, we're going to have tariffs, we're not going to have tariffs. And nobody, who's going to want to invest in companies that don't know what to do? They're frozen.
I'll give an example. Jack Daniel's parent company, Canada, was one of their biggest buyers. Canada's just cutting the United States off. They said, we're done with you guys. They're not buying Jack Daniel's anymore. And they had to lay off 700 American workers at their factory in Kentucky. So this is what happens when you do tariffs, because other companies just say, we're not buying your product. We're done.
Yeah. In fact, Canada Is there at least British Columbia, because up there each province can have its own kind of policy. British Columbia was actually targeting alcohol in red states that voted for Trump, which means our microbreweries can go up there, and the rest, I think our local humble vodka could go up, but Jack Daniels and a lot of whiskey in southern states and a lot of alcohol, yeah, they're hurting.
And Ontario brings power to a lot of the Northeast. If they have to slap a 50% tariff on power, that means your utility bill, the Americans' utility bills, are going to go up 50%.
Yeah, now
That is
they've
really highly dilutive
temporarily
now.
held off. Ontario temporarily held off on that, but they wanted to send a message. And of course, Trump was in kind of a panic about that, saying, "Well, it'll be better in the long run." And that's what he's been saying. Well, the recession, there's going to be some pain in the short run, but it'll be better in the long run. And the thing is it won't. I want to make a real quick. To pointing out that when Reagan came to office, he came in on inflation very similar to what Trump came in, and then supply side economics didn't work, and he actually caused a double dip recession and was in a lot of danger of losing re-election on that basis. He turned it around, but he turned it around by increasing spending, particularly military spending. He had Cap Weinberger say that there was, falsely, that Soviet military superiority. Democrats caved, and between 1980 and 1984, we built up a deficit that was larger than all the rest of the deficits combined, going back to George Washington. So it was. But we can't do that now. We can't spend our way out of this anymore. And he's breaking, as we've discussed on it, the right wing economists. Milton Friedman, F.A. Hayek, they say no, you can't have tariffs. They say no tariffs, not even just tariffs here and there. There's a lot of debates as to whether certain tariffs are appropriate at certain times, but blanket 25% tariffs, there's no economist that agrees that that's going to be good. So what is Trump doing? Well, I mean, there's a lot of talk out there that we're not going to have elections again, and maybe he just figures he doesn't have to win them. I don't know, but right now, if things don't change, and as you mentioned, even Fox News is freaking out about the economy. This was the issue, and there are a lot of Trump people, ranchers in Nebraska, who all of a sudden don't have anybody to work their farms,
You saw
are
that.
really regretting their votes. Now, I don't know how many times it would take. I kind of lose my patience with people who say, "Oh, I finally learned Trump. It wasn't a good idea to vote for Trump. He's run now three times. You've voted for him three times."
Right, six times.
I don't know how many
Nine
times you have
primaries.
to do it till you learn, but.
Right. There's a woman from Nebraska, a farmer on, saying over half of our labor is Hispanic. We don't check their documentation status. We just pay them and they work. But she's finding out a lot of these people are leaving because they're worried about ICE coming, sweeping in and taking them. So they're going to different states or different industries. She says, we don't have enough employees to run a ranch right now. And I'm hearing that throughout the farming community, most of the Midwest is farming and ranching, probably half their economy is farming and ranching. They're a little bit freaked out right now because they need labor, period. They don't care what your status is. Second thing I saw, Maria Bartiromo was on Fox News complaining about tariffs and what the cost could do. And she says, it's a simple answer. Just bring the factories back to America and hire American workers. You know why the factories went elsewhere in the first place? High cost of labor. They don't want to pay $30 an hour plus benefits when they can hire someone in Mexico for $10 an hour and no benefits. This isn't brain surgery. This is why all the CEOs of the big three car companies started shipping elsewhere and moving their factories elsewhere. It was cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, the short-sightedness of that is it means that there are fewer Americans who can buy their products. So as Ford, Ford was a proto-fascist. Henry Ford, he was supported Hitler up until that, but he did understand one thing, is that there needed to be some type of government support and some type of economic policy that enabled people to buy expensive, durable products. And they just don't seem to have that here. And so we've got problems here. Yeah, I'm hearing Trump supporters now saying, well, maybe American companies can just do business here. I mean, it's the economy. This isn't a 19th century economy. It doesn't work that way anymore. I mean,
it takes 2 or 3 years to build a factory in the first place.
I know, as we're learning because of the electronics that we were lacking during the pandemic.
And half the factories are robotic anyway.
Right. So
the other thing it's doing is they're talking about the economy here, is they're firing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of federal workers. I'm not sure. I think Elon Musk thinks he can run the whole government on AI, which I don't know if you've called a corporate 800 number recently. To reach a human being can get frustrating. You just go, press one for this, press two for this, three. No, that's not, I don't want any of those. I want a human being, 000. That's the wrong button. You're like,
it's going to be chaotic because some of the courts are now saying, hey, you can't fire them except for cause. You need to have reason, and you not wanting them to have the jobs is not cause.
And where's Congress in all of this?
Yeah.
Well, they're still not doing, they're not going to be doing town halls in the near future. It's
ugly. No. I mean, the Democrats are doing town halls. They're turning them into rallies. And in fact, Bernie Sanders is on a tour. He's drawing 5,000 people to talk about it. He's not going to run again. He's decided he's too old for that. But he's, we'll talk more about what the Democrats should be doing in the next session. The question here is, does Trump think is going to happen for the midterm? I know that they're in a hurry to get things done. There's questions about whether Elon Musk in his current capacity can stay there for more than 120 days, I think it is, because he's not actually appointed by the government and hasn't gone through any type of vetting with Congress. Or financial disclosures. Yeah, I know. Right. As he's like trying to cancel contracts by his competitors. He's trying to cancel a Verizon contract. No conflict of interest there.
And he wants to fire the FAA air traffic controllers and replace them with AI. Because what could possibly go wrong with a computer?
I'm not going to be flying for a while if he manages that. I mean, it's just, but anyway, I mean, it's so the question is, why are Republicans not challenge him on it? Because they're the ones that are going to get hit first. In theory, if Trump honors democracy, he will leave office in 4 years and he can't run again, unless, of course, that alternative interpretation of the 22nd Amendment prevails. I doubt it. But right now, people are scrambling. They're going to have to win midterms, people in purple districts. And if the economy's not going very well, I mean, there was a key poll that came out from Emerson, and Emerson tends to, I won't say slant, but tilt conservative with their methodology. They always seem to have more Republicans than are represented by actual voters in their samples, and they're showing that independents are losing their faith in him, he's losing support among them. He still has support of about a third of them, a third of them say no, and the rest say they don't know. It's too early to tell. But, there aren't going to be a lot of MAGA people. There will be MAGA people, but they may not even turn out in the midterm election. They haven't turned out in the midterm election yet. Which is why the Democrats kept holding on to the Senate. And so what are they thinking?
I don't know. And what's going to take is for more people at town halls to ask a simple question to their Republican congressperson. When are you up for reelection? Because everyone knows the answer. They're up every 2 years. So it's going to be June 2026, which is coming soon. And once you say that to them, they're going to start going, oh, they're going to go, I don't like my prices still being high. I don't like one man taking a chainsaw to the federal government. Canon changes, and it's going to start with you. And once people say that to the Republican congressman, they're going to get a little bit worried. And the recession could come just from the amount of people they're firing. You can't fire hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people and not expect that to hit the economy. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to slow down their spending. And if that happens, we got a big problem here with the economy.
That and that should solve inflation. I mean, you know, I'm, that's a very cynical one.
Bad way of doing it, though.
Except that the tariffs could aggravate it, and we could have what we had in the late 70s that killed the Carter presidency,
right.
Stagflation, when you have both recession and inflation.
And increasing prices. Right.
Yeah.
That's bad.
It's a bizarre, counterintuitive thing, but it can happen. And that's a scary thing, because what do you do for it? You can't spend your way out of it, and you can't cut back on your way out of it. You've got no fiscal policy. You can't cut back spending, or you aggravate the recession. You can't increase spending, or you aggravate the inflation. There's really no tool for it other than just to muddle through. And right. I think people are going to lose their patience.
I agree. Can with that, Eric, moving on to topic two.
All right. Well, we'll do that in just a second, but we will be talking about the economy again in the future, because it's not going to go well. There's just no way.
If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com. You are listening to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM.
What can Democrats do? I mean, technically, Trump can do whatever he wants because no Republican is going to stand up to him. He's got a $500 million war chest just to do negative ads on Republicans. And that petrifies him more than anything. He can get on Truth Social and just lie about them, which he does anyway, all day, every day. He can get in front of the cameras of America and say lies about his... He just did that to Massey, the congressman from Kentucky, who was one of the only Republicans that voted against his spending bill. So, of course, Trump's out there slamming on him, saying, we got to get rid of you. So Massey says, you're not the first president to ever threaten me, so good luck. We'll see what happens there. But what can Democrats do, Eric?
I mean, it's a tough question. You know, I completely thought Al Green was inappropriate at the congressional hearing, but I don't want to blame him too much, because at least he tried something, right? Right. I mean, you know, something. The problem is that the Democrats are just basically saying that, well, we're not going to do anything and we're going to let Trump hang himself. That is bad policy. You got to do something to seize the narrative. Right. And I think there are some things they can do about it. I think they ought to follow Bernie Sanders' lead in this. He's got people, thousands of people showing up at his rallies right now. And there are protests across the country. That's part. You got to start with that. You got to start with a narrative and an appeal to the people, because they can put pressure on. And they also should probably be courting and going to some of the moderate Republicans that are going to have tough reelection plans, the ones that, you know, barely got voted in by the skin of their teeth, and really say, do you want to go down with the ship? They should really be trying to negotiate with them. And maybe they are behind closed doors for all we know. But that's something. They may even get a couple of them to flip if they don't want to end their careers on insanity.
So most of the congressmen are saying they used to get a couple hundred phone calls a day from constituents. Now they're getting tens of thousands of phone calls a day, which are basically saying the same thing. Why aren't you doing your job? I'd be out there if I was a Democrat hammering that point home. We're doing our job. We're talking to our constituents. We're standing up for Medicaid. Wait till the Republicans find out in poor counties that part of the reason for the billionaires and corporations to keep their tax cuts, they're going to cut Medicaid first. And once they do that, they're going to go after Medicare and go after Social Security. The three things Trump said were off the table.
Yeah.
Tax cuts.
I'm forgetting the name of the young woman who was the press person for it, but she flipped out when reporters were asking her tough questions, and she basically revealed that she doesn't know what a tariff is even, or how they work. I mean,
yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. And so I think the Democrats really need to hammer when those points are made. Here we have a presidency that is pushing tariffs, and they don't understand how tariffs work, and be hitting hard on all of the talk shows. And like I said, they should not be afraid and should go on to the podcast, go on to the Joe Rogan show. And just be talking these points, because Joe Rogan does reach some of MAGA. There are a lot of MAGA that thinks he's, you know, he's not real, truly MAGA, and he isn't actually. He's kind of a wild card. But they need to go on to those podcasts to access this. This is one thing I've always respected about Bernie Sanders, about Buttigieg, is they're willing to go on to Fox News and take people on. And sometimes it works out well, sometimes it doesn't, but they almost always make a presentation. You got to get to that crowd. And that's what they should be doing, not sitting around waiting. The problem is that some of them just have no charisma. I mean, Schumer, you know.
And Gavin Newsom just went on the Steve Bannon podcast. He's going to be out front, and I believe Pete Buttigieg will follow, because those two are going to want to run for president in 3 years and however many months we have left. So I'm agreeing with you. The one thing that always upset me about Hillary, Bill Maher would invite her on all the time, and she'd never go on a show.
She would never go on. Because
for her candidacy.
Yeah, because she was running the type of campaign that Harris didn't start out as, but became, is where you want to stay on message and just repeat things over and over again like a robot, you know, and not have to actually engage the questions that are being asked with you. Bernie's not afraid of that. Buttigieg isn't afraid of that. And by the way, there's rumors he might run for Senate in a couple of years. They have to elect leaders that are not afraid to go on and talk. That's just what has to be done.
You have to talk to the opposition. You've already got your people baked in. You got to talk to the opposition. And like you're saying, the moderate voters, you got to reach them. It's one reason why Trump went to NASCAR. He went to NFL games. He went to college games, to the Joe Rogan podcast. He was out there doing stuff.
Yeah, although he didn't get the best reception at NASCAR, though, because his being there caused some races to be postponed because of the weather. But still, he did it. You know, he was there, and that's what he could show, the photos.
Looking forward to that. But I would hammer on to people is let them know, especially when Medicaid is on the ballot.
Yeah.
Get these tax cuts. Republicans want to cut your Medicaid. What are you going to do when you can't afford a doctor? So two things are going to happen. Republicans are going to get sick and Republicans are start to die. And God forbid, Republican women who can't afford prenatal care, they're going to lose their babies. And I can say, why did you vote for Trump again?
Cutting Medicaid and cutting Medicare is not popular. It's the third rail, you know, as bad as Social Security, which, by the way, there's been some indication that they're going to go after Social Security, too, which is complete BS, because it's based on a special tax that it's itself, you know, it may not be in a few years, but right now it's self-sustaining. And so basically when they cut that, are they going to cut back the Social Security tax? I mean, or are they just going to take it and use it for general fund purposes like they've been doing and borrowing it inappropriately, in my view, both parties? They need to hammer on the Medicaid. Yes, this is happening. They need to show why and where. And I mean, because that is where you lose voters, even young voters, if you're going to attack these policies. This is the interesting thing, though, is that we've had a new Congress now for 2 months. Where is the motion, the bill to repeal Obamacare?
They don't want to do it. It's popular.
They don't want to do it. No.
It's popular.
You noticed way back in 2016, the Republicans had introduced, I think it was, 60 bills to repeal it? And then for 2 years, they had absolute power, and they didn't touch it. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, they did. They told what they wanted to do later, and McCain was the, you know, surviving vote on it, was to strip it of its vitality, have it not have to recognize pre-existing injury, you know, cover pre-existing diseases and the like, and that, you know, which that's complicated, but I don't want to get too far into it. But yeah, you're out of power. You also say, if we were in power right now, these are the bills we would be passing. This is what would actually improve your situation. We would be funding the disease. And one of the things that's really scary that's only making it is there's a couple of almost emergencies happening in Africa with diseases we don't even recognize. Normally, we have people down there to look into it, scientists down there to look into it. And we don't have that right now because the funding's been frozen.
And we have a measles outbreak in Texas, measles, which is highly communicable. But if you take a shot, you don't have to deal with it. But there's a huge population out there due to the wild conspiracy theories on the COVID vaccine, don't want any vaccines at all. And I think your typical child has to get, I want to say, 13 shots to hit public schools.
It's unfortunately, the measles is also spread to a couple of other states now. It's not quite at that level. They've only lost one child, some idiot said on the radio. But, you know, it's just, and was that really from measles? Yeah, it was from measles. And, you know, the doctors aren't going to lie about that stuff and put their licenses on the line to make something like that up.
So a woman posted in Facebook, she's in a red county, and she says, there's a measles outbreak in my county. What can I do to protect my children? I'm like, hello, how about giving your kid a vaccine shot? A measles vaccine shot. I'm just...
That's I saw a great sign on somewhere within the past couple of days that said, you know, vaccinations cause adulthood. You know, so it's just
I want to go back to one point. You says, what can the Democrats do? One Democratic congressman set up in a border where his district is. He was over here and the Republican congressman is here. He had a town hall right on the border between the two areas. I'd like to see more Democrat congressional people do that and invite the people from the red district into his town hall and just simply say, since your congressman won't come to your district, why don't you come to me? And I'll tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C. That's going to be huge if that starts happening. And they're not going to be doing it. They're going to be going to high school auditoriums or stadiums if that happens. There'll be thousands, if not tens of thousands of people showing up saying, what is going on in Washington, D.C., and why won't my congressman talk to us?
Yeah.
Well, it's worse to give them the Fox News line. And then they just laugh at them.
They need to also have their surrogates. They don't necessarily need to take it on as elected. But there is possibly a problem with immigration right now because most of the immigration statistics we have to show that there's been reduced traffic across the border is based on the arrest records, right? You figure that this is a certain amount. But the problem is that when the asylum policy was in effect, they would come across and then surrender themselves, but so that they could stay in the country pending the asylum hearings. Well, with that not happening, nobody's surrendering themselves anymore. So the only people being arrested are the ones being caught, and as they're just trying to get in the old-fashioned way. And stay in by being hidden. I mean, you know what that law did, and by the way, Biden did it too. Is basically it's driven the problem underground again. And I do think at a certain point, it's going to come up. We don't know how many people are coming across right now because all of our approaches to doing that. So they don't. But that's a really complicated argument to make. They should have surrogates out there talking about how there may be a new immigration problem. However, with the economy being the way it is, I don't know if immigrants are going to be all that attracted to coming here right now if they can't get jobs, you know. So,
and I saw one farmer said, if we don't have immigrants on here to help me pick my vegetables and my fruit, can't good news for you guys. You guys don't get to eat.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen when the price of an avocado hits $5 each? Or your lettuce is tiny, small, and it's $5 for a head of lettuce. People are going to freak out.
I can't remember the name of the group, but there was a group of farmer ranchers in Nebraska again. And can you even be more condescending? Trying to invite Black people. Hey, you're all unemployed, right? Why don't you come and pick the crops for us? And it's become a meme all over TikTok with Black people. I mean, you know, it's just like, excuse me? You know,
we tried that picking cotton. We're done with that. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, you know, supposedly 1/3 of all farm workers are white. I don't know where they are or not, but you know, why don't you try you know, getting some lazy white people out there, right? You know, I mean, I certainly wouldn't do it. I picked fruit as a teenager up in the state of Washington. We weren't paid by the hour. We were paid by the flat of berries we picked by weight. And I think they put an end to that. And it was hard work. You're sitting there out in the sun. You know, it's
Central Valley, 105 degree heat, 12 hours a day. Can't backbreaking work.
No, it's just, and it makes economic sense if the money you're making buys a lot more than it does here, right? You know, if you're sending a mix.
Let's talk about construction. If you go to a major urban city, half the people on a construction site are Hispanic. Have you traveled at a hotel? The hotel cleaning staff, 90% is Hispanic. Go to any restaurant. You may have the white people out front being your hostess and the waiters, but I guarantee your dishwashers, your busboys, Hispanic. That's just how the hospitality industry works. They need cheap labor.
They need to get it as low as possible. Even in California, the hotel's cleaning staff tends to be. I've noticed that over recent years.
Major urban city too.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what city you go to.
Right. Now, you know, there are people who are here legally. There are people here on work visas and the rest, but they don't have that set up right now. There is no Bracero program or anything like that. You know, and there doesn't seem to be any interest of the federal government to do that. So, again, it's just there's so much to talk about. You know, and it's unfortunate that comedians are fighting the fight. You know, activists are fighting the fight. I mean, that SNL, you know, thing about the about the meeting with Zelensky was hilarious. And that does get the point, but you got to get to people. These are not SNL isn't watched by a whole lot of red state people. It tends to be a blue state kind of thing, you know, kind of like you know, blue state people listen to Tom Petty and red state people listen to Kid Rock. It's just, you know, there's cultural differences. I'm not sure they're listening to Kid Rock that much anymore, but he's kind of losing it. But you know, the other types of things. I think we agree. It's you got to do things to seize the narrative. You can't sit back and let Trump hang himself. You got to put some rope out there to help him do that.
Let the Republicans say they're voting for tariffs and that's going to increase prices. Let the Republicans say we just passed a spending bill that's going to cut your Medicaid. Let them get out in front of that. Democrats should be out in front of that every day saying that.
I'm going to say what I've been saying for years. Democrats need to learn how to use social media.
And how to message.
Yeah.
And Republicans come out with a talking point. There's three words that every Republican knows right now. Fraud, waste, and abuse. You know why? They've heard it a few thousand times on all the right-wing echo chambers. It's spoken every 20 minutes on Fox News for weeks on end. Fraud, waste, and abuse. That's all. They can't tell you anything they've done, but they know those three words.
And now that the judge this morning has said that DOJ is subject to the Freedom of Information Act,
right?
There's going to be some interesting reporting soon. I'm sure they're going to stall.
Once they release the information, we'll find out.
All right. Well, I think we're out of time on this one, but we'll be talking about this more, obviously.
A lot more.
You are watching Redwood Wonk on Access Humboldt Community-Owned Television.
Third segment. So there are numerous civil rights lawsuits being filed against the universities across the country, including, by the way, our own Cal Poly just received one based upon a really horrible incident in which some pro-Israeli activists, I don't know if they were Jewish or not, but pro-Israeli activists had paint thrown at them, fake blood by a masked protester. And the lawsuit is alleging that the university is not doing what it can to get this under control. There is multiple lawsuits filed against Columbia University for, again, the failure to make it safe for Jews. I mean, Jews were harassed, even some of them who supported it, just because they were wearing a Star of David, which some of the protesters who, I'm sorry, not all of them are the brightest bulbs, but they thought that, oh, that's the star on the Israeli flag. That must be a pro-Israeli thing, the Star of David, right? I mean, it's just, it's really kind of bad. And if anything, their parents should be suing the universities for malpractice. But these things have been going on, and it's going to have an impact. Additionally, Trump is doing something that probably is illegal and probably will get reversed, but he's cut off $400 million in grants and aid and the rest to Columbia University, probably other universities by now. Courts are probably going to reverse that. You don't get to be punitive in that way. You don't get to decide on grants. There's contracts involved, and it'll probably be shut down. Point is, universities are now going to be under pressure to change their policies, not allow people to demonstrate in masks. They have to have permits with specific times and endings and the rest. At least that's what's being pushed at the federal level. I don't know that Trump has the authority to do that. We'll find out, or to make a payment of grants contingent upon that. But there is clearly a backlash, and we've also seen that one of the leaders of the Columbia protests, Mahmoud Khali, was arrested by ICE. He has a green card and a student visa. Both of them have been revoked. He's somewhere in Louisiana. The problem, it's an interesting precedent because there's no allegations he did anything illegal. Just that he. What's that?
They haven't arrested him or anything. They just said you're pro-Hamas and you're a terrorist. Right. They're sending you to Louisiana and then sending you to Guantanamo Bay. And if you don't like Guantanamo Bay, how does Palestine sound?
Yeah.
That's what they're threatening with. And he's married to a U.S. citizen who's 8 months pregnant.
Yeah. It's probably, and what does it mean to be pro-Hamas? I don't know what he said. I don't know what he's on record as having said. He was just one of the organizers of the protest. And there are, even Ann Coulter is questioning the First Amendment aspects.
They can come after you and I next, Eric. We've said bad things about Trump. I'm going to get a knock on the door at 3 a.m. What's next? And don't say it can't happen. It's happened in countries around the world.
Maybe we'll be picked up on ICE. We don't have our green cards. That was a Cheech and Chong joke. Chong ended up getting deported. But it is a step in the wrong direction. I don't know anything about what this gentleman said, but they are not accusing him of crimes. They're saying that there are free speech limitations, is what they said, which is a really dumbass thing for an attorney to say. But
considering our president has free lies right now, he doesn't do speech. President Trump does free lies on a daily basis by the hundreds. Gets away with it. Should we deport Trump because he lies?
Well, I mean, there are some people who would say yes, but I want to say that, and we'll go back to the lawsuits against the university in a minute, but I did some research on this. I've been trying to find a precedent for this arrest, and it may even be legal, I don't know, for the president to say that it's prejudicial to U.S. interests. Back in the 1980s, Reagan denied access to the United States. Two authors were going to promote books. One of them was Isabel Allende, the famous author and daughter of Allende, Salvador Allende, who was taken out and killed in a coup in the early 70s in Chile. And Farley Mowat, an author of a very funny book based on environmental principles, Never Cry Wolf, made into a movie. He's Canadian, she's Chilean, and the Reagan administration barred them both. They had to cancel or postpone their tours. I don't remember which one of them, but one of them challenged it in court and actually won because they said that, you know, denying them on vague claims of being prejudicial to U.S. interests, you need to have more details as to that. You can't just vaguely say that. Before that, you have to go back to when the longshoreman leader, Harry Bridges, who led and organized the 1934 general strike that possibly transformed labor in this country in San Francisco, but it went up and down the coast, attempted to revoke his citizenship based on him not revealing that he was a Red or a fellow traveler when he came in, when he applied for citizenship. He was an Australian immigrant. The government lost both times. And when they attempted to deport immigrants during the McCarthy era, it failed, even with the McCarran Act and everything. And so those are the only examples. I've never seen anything where somebody was arrested, green card and visa revoked on the basis of that he organized a demonstration.
What's going to happen at Cal Poly Humboldt?
You know how many we don't know what's going to happen. There is a lawsuit. They're probably going to be, they'll probably reach a settlement where they have established changing of policies with regard to demonstrations, because that's really what it was about. Now, this paint incident isn't the only incident they're talking about, but it was the most blatantly egregious. I mean, that is assault and battery. That person with the paint committed a crime. Whether or not it's a hate crime, it is still assault and battery. But we don't even know if that person was a student, right? There were people from off campus participating, but this wasn't a protest. This was a table of three students who were supporting Israel being accosted by this gentleman. A few others that were talking to him, you know, with loud voices, but that's not necessarily a crime unless it's threatening. But this person committed a crime.
So we all witnessed when the idiots took over the hall there at Cal Poly Humboldt, the one student banging the cop over the head with the plastic jug. Committing assault on a police officer, wasn't even arrested.
Well, they tried to, but they couldn't get in, and nobody could identify that student. You just see the hand coming out of the crowd and obscured. So the police didn't even remember what they were looking at. And yeah, it's not it's not as harmful as, you know, if you're attacking them. But the definition of battery, assault and battery, is a harmful or offensive contact. And that could be.
But now that Trump pardons the January Sixers, it's now legal to beat on law enforcement. If I can do it, I got a precedence. President Trump has to pardon me.
I mean, that certainly is a factor. Of course, that pardon came after those demonstrations. But yeah, that was. What is the university going to be able to do? What are all the universities going to be able to do? You can't prevent protests, and they are heavily protected by the First Amendment. But you probably can take steps to prevent them from camping, and also from harassing other students.
What happens when the Trump administration says, I don't like College X and College Y, I'm withholding their funding, which I guarantee he's going to do.
He's trying that. I'm sure Columbia University already has their lawyers in there to put an end to that. I don't know if he's done it. I haven't heard about any other colleges yet. Probably testing that one to see if it holds up.
Which is like Khalil Muhammad or Mahmoud Khalil. It's a test case. If he can deport this guy, I can go after all the other Arabs that I don't like and get them the hell out of this country.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, it's short-sightedness, a bad precedent, because the next president might have a different political agenda to base that on, you know, and deport Israeli students for whatever, right?
Deporting rednecks. I don't like rednecks. Let's deport them.
I mean, it's just, it is a dangerous precedent. The universities, though, are going to have to address this issue. Columbia University set up a task force to investigate anti-Semitism, and they never even came up with a definition of anti-Semitism. right? I mean, it's because there's a lot of arguments, and it's a bit of a straw man that to say that, you know, what people are arguing is that any criticism of Israel is anti-Semitic. Nobody's saying that. You know, even AIPAC doesn't say that. But you know, is it anti-Semitic to publicly oppose the existence of the state of Israel? I get that some very conservative Jewish people and Zionists feel that way, but again, that's not anti-Semitism because it's just whether or not, it's not that they don't even believe the Jews should have the right to live there. And I'm not saying I agree with them. I'm very much behind the two-state solution at this point, something that nobody seems to support anymore. But but I see that as the only road to peace there. But but technically speaking, I'm a Zionist because I believe that Israel should have the right to exist, right? Or, you know, because I'm proposing something that could cause problems for Israel, am I anti-Semitic? There needs to be some type of consensus on what is anti-Semitism, what is anti-Semitic activity, and what is not protected by the First Amendment. Throwing paint on somebody is not protected by the First Amendment, period. That's just not a form of protest. That's recognized. It's beyond vandalism. It's not, you know, you're vandalizing people, not objects. So it's you know they're saying, well, it's the Supreme Court decided that burning an American flag is legal, so why can't I throw paint on people? I mean, if you can't tell the difference between those two things, it's problematic. But
go ahead. If you throw a burning flag on someone, that would be bad.
Oh yeah, that would be worse than paint. But I mean, there needs to be thorough discussions with everybody at the table as to what anti-Semitism is, what constitutes anti-Semitism, and a thorough discussion with written, you know, opinions provided so everybody can participate in this. Until they do that, and I don't know, maybe that'll be decided in court by one of these lawsuits as to what constitutes that. And just because something happened on campus, by the way, doesn't mean that the university is liable. I don't know that the university could have done anything to prevent the paint incident. We just don't know, other than any time a Jewish or pro-Israeli group goes up there, that there'd be security there. But I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want security, you know, breathing down my neck to even to protect me if I'm, you know, exercising my First Amendment rights. So it's a difficult question, and probably above my pay grade. I've read a lot on anti-Semitism and a lot on what constitutes a hate crime, and I actually have a hard time sometimes with the concept of a hate crime. I actually defended somebody against hate crime charges locally one time when I was still doing criminal defense work, because it was a bar fight in which the guy was fighting a Samoan, was not the brightest bulb, thought that the guy was black and called him the N-word. And so that was, you know, so then when he was punching him in that context, it was charged as a hate crime. I managed to convince the judge, no, if you're saying that out, the hate crime goes to a motive. And just because you get angry because you're in the middle of a fight and you use the N-word, that doesn't mean that your fight is motivated by racism. It just means the fight brought out the racism. Judge agreed with me. Right. So, you know, it's but it's a state of mind that goes to trying to deter a certain type of crime. And it's a really tough question as to what the universities can do in response to these lawsuits.
Right. I agree. Wait till they get their funding cut.
Well, right. I mean, like I said, I'm predicting that at the lower courts anyway are going to say Trump can't do that. Again, funding is based on what Congress does. A whole bunch of actions that Trump is doing basically are him appropriating congressional power. Congress gets
that word you use, Derek? Congress?
Yeah,
do we right, have a Congress right now?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be in charge of the purse strings, and they don't want to touch them because that might upset Trump.
Yeah, but are they going? If Trump has his way, Congress will pass a proxy, giving Trump a proxy to make those decisions. But they couldn't get that passed a filibuster. I don't think most Republicans would go along with it.
One thing to bring up in the humor this week, Marjorie Taylor Greene is now chairing some committee on the floor of Congress. And she actually said, excuse me, we need decorum in the Hall of Congress. The laughter just broke out from the congressman going, this crazy lady who yells all the time. So, yeah, what goes around comes around.
All right. Well, I think we've exhausted as much as we can with that topic. I will maybe bring it back again when we see some development with these lawsuits, both the civil rights lawsuits and obviously the one that I'm certain Columbia has already filed against the Trump administration. This brings us to our predictions. Matthew, what do you have for us?
I've got two things I want to get out there that I think is slowly going to come to the American census. One, the Republican tax cut is going to affect Medicaid. And when you're a poor person in a red state and you can't get medical care, you're going to freak out. And very shortly, in the next 2-3 weeks, it's going to get out there. That's one thing I think is going to happen. Second thing I think is going to happen is sooner or later, people are going to say to Congress, why aren't you doing your job? And when are you up for re-election? Because Congress, there is no Congress effectively right now. It doesn't exist. Right now, we have the White House and the Oval Office and Elon Musk, and that's it. That's not how our country's supposed to be. And I think more and more people are going to come to the understanding we don't live under a monarchy, contrary to what King Musk thinks.
Yes, I hope so. All right. U.S. District Court Judge Casey Cooper, in probably one of the biggest of many, there have been about 40 decisions so far, preliminary decisions against Donald Trump. But this is a big one because the Trump administration and DOJ's attorneys were arguing that they are not subject to the Freedom of Information Act or other public records acts because they're not officially a government agency. So it's kind of double. They get to have the power of a government agency, but not be an agent. They have not actually, the judge has not actually made the decision yet as to whether or not the Freedom of Information Act happens, but he has issued an injunction ordering DOGE to preserve all of the records of everything pending a ruling with an evidentiary hearing that the DOGE is subject to the Freedom of Information Act. They've probably already been hit with hundreds, if not thousands, of them from the media, and they probably will happen. My prediction is that the judge is ultimately going to rule that they are subject because of their entanglements with the government, that they are subject to freedom of information, and we are going to see true transparency at that point, and it may not look good.
Good.
We'll see if any of those things come true. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.